Thank you, Jeremy. Good worship this morning, and hope that you've had a good weekend. Cooler weather is on the way. Can I get an amen in the house? These crisp 93-degree autumn days are just so much easier to tolerate than those sweltering 94-degree summer days. It's just so much more pleasant out there, but it's on the way. 50s towards the end of this week. And in the mid-70s, and so I'm thankful for that, and rejoice in my opportunity to be in your presence today. I'm honored and blessed to be your pastor. I've been in a series called Toxic Emotions, in which we talked about getting through depression, getting through anger, getting through stress. Last week, we talked about fear, and today, I want us to talk about the toxic emotion of loneliness. Have you ever felt all alone? I'm reminded of a frog who really got to be lonely, and so he desired a companion and wanted a Miss Frog in his life, and so he just couldn't find one, so he decided to go to a psychic to see if maybe she could predict something coming up in his future. And so he sat down with her, and she looked at his little frog palm and began to read the lines in it, and she said, I see that you're going to meet a nice young lady who's going to want to know all there is to know about you. And the frog lit up. He said, that's awesome. That's wonderful. He said, where will I meet her? And the psychic said, in her biology class. So maybe as a husband, you can identify with the man who was really lonely. And so he posted on a website. He said, just two words, wife wanted. And so he got up the next morning and found hundreds of replies in his mailbox that said, you can have mine. I mean, that's not nice. But anyway, I was surprised to learn from students of human behavior that loneliness is the number one toxic emotion that we face here in America. In fact, there was a study done by the American Council of Life Insurance. I was really surprised by this. That discovered the loneliest group in America is college students, those who go off to college. I can remember when I moved out of my house, went to Bruton Parker, went for choir week, and everybody down there knew everybody. I felt like I was the only one new down there, and I was just overwhelmed by not knowing anybody, and I'm very social anyway, and I remember going back to my room one night and getting down on my knees with tears in my eyes saying, God, I need help. I was lonely. And maybe you can remember those days. The next group that was on the list was divorced people. Single mothers deal with loneliness. Housewives and the elderly. It's a common emotion that affects us throughout the human race. And at one time or another, you will be affected by loneliness. I can remember when I was a teenager, before Tammy and I started dating, I remember I went through a period of loneliness. And you remember back in the day, 70s and 80s, there was a club called the Lonely Hearts Club. And so I sent them an application and a picture. And 2 weeks later, I got a letter from them that said, we're not that lonely. And that was kind of hard. That was hard. But anyway, Max Licato, a gifted writer and preacher, was walking through a cemetery, and he came across a tombstone of Grace Llewellyn Smith. And on the tombstone, there was no date of birth, there was no date of death, there were no facts about her life, her interest, her accomplishments. There were two names of prior husbands, and here's what the epitaph said. It said, sleeps, but rest not. Loved, but was loved not. Tried to please, but pleased not, died as she lived, alone. And Max Licato found himself wondering what must have broken this lady's heart, and he was haunted by those words, died as she lived, alone. And a chilling realization hit him that if epitaphs across America were that honest, cemeteries would be filled with Grace Llewellyn Smiths. See, we were created for fellowship and community, and when we deprive ourselves of fellowship and community, it will lead to our detriment. We really shouldn't be surprised that loneliness appears early in the Bible, and the Creator, God, designer of mankind assessed in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone." Morris West said this, "We exist in a society where people live in impersonal cities and suburbs, where electronic entertainment often replaces one-on-one conversation, where people move from job to job and state to state and marriage to marriage, and loneliness has become an epidemic." I can remember when I first started working out. I know you can look at me and tell I work out. But anyway, I remember going to the gym, and you'd see people there, and people would be walking around. They'd be talking, working out. "How was your day? How's everything going? How's work?" All that. Nowadays, you go to the gym, nobody talks to anybody. Everybody walks around with big earphones or earbuds, and they don't want, just don't mess with me. It's changed drastically. David Jeremiah defines loneliness as this: "It's an anxiety that doesn't come or go, but it remains with you at all times and smothers you in the still of the night. It's a sharp pang that jolts through you when you hear certain old songs or revive certain old memories. It's a subtle stress that quietly wears you down until you feel devoid of energy or enthusiasm. Above all, loneliness is a longing for completeness." All of us are born with three basic psychological needs: the need to love, the need to find someone who understands us, and the need to be needed or wanted. In his book, Slaying the Giants of Your Life, David Jeremiah gives examples of four groups of people who often encounter loneliness. And so I just want to go real quickly through those four groups of people. The first group that he lists is the lonely single. See, oftentimes I'll talk to people who live alone by themselves, either after a divorce or after a death, or moving to college or moving out of the house for the first time. And they'll paint a picture of returning to a home by themselves and cooking dinner for one, or watching TV shows or Netflix shows without having anyone to discuss them with, or scrolling through Facebook and just seemingly it appears that everybody has somebody but them. And let me just say this, there's some people out there who just choose to be alone and prefer it to be that way. There are just many naturally introverted people who are just very comfortable in their aloneness. I remember my wife's grandmother, Grandma Helms. She lost a husband and had no desire to date, certainly no desire to get married. She liked being alone and preferred it that way. That's just, she didn't want anybody telling her what to do. She didn't want to have to ask anybody permission to do anything. She liked being by herself. So not everybody's a people person. In fact, for some people, being social is downright exhausting. And so don't think that I'm making the point here that everybody needs or wants somebody in their life, because there are many singles out there who are content in their singleness, and going home to an empty house doesn't discourage them or depress them. It excites them. But for the sake of this marriage, there are many out there who are struggling as a lonely single. Also, the second group is the lonely spouse. Many people discover and are shocked to discover that marriage is not a surefire cure for loneliness. Among the loneliest people in the United States of America are married people. David Jeremiah discusses a letter that was put on his desk by a lady who was married, and she said this, "I try not to dwell on the loneliness of marriage, but the truth is I am lonely. My husband and I are both Christians, and he's a good man who works hard to provide for me, but all that work keeps him from being there to meet my emotional needs. We're like two ships passing in the bathroom." She said, "I don't want to nag. I simply try not to think about the hurt and the emptiness, but in the end, I am lonely." And maybe you have a spouse who works many, many hours, or who works out of town, or who is involved in hobbies, who they fish and hunt on Saturday and gone on Sunday. Or maybe the husband sits home and the wife shops all day Saturday or spends time with her friends, and you just feel lonely. You're a lonely spouse. The third group of people is the lonely survivor. It's possible to have a full and abundant marriage and lose the one that you've come to depend on. I can't fathom the pain of losing a soulmate. If something happens to Tammy, it's going to have to be a casket for two. I can't survive on my own. I just can't. And life is constructed of shared experiences and shared feelings and mutual preferences of restaurants and furniture and music and thousands of other things that makes the confines and the bonds of marriage so wonderful and abundant. And when that spouse that has become a part of you leaves to go into eternity, there's a wound there that there's no complete healing for. The most difficult decision that the lonely survivor can make after a divorce or after a death is trying to figure out how to rebuild after the chaos of loss. But then there's a fourth group, the lonely senior adult. See, many senior adults give in to the hurt that they gave themselves fully to their children when they were young, but now that they're older and they need attention and they need care, their children are too busy for them, or at least not there as often as the parents would prefer. And I talk to many senior adults who have a difficult time transitioning into that phase of life where they aren't as needed as they used to be. And they can remember a time in their lives where they had all these great accomplishments and all these appointments lined up and all this busyness and all these awards that they received. And they can remember having the respect of the community. They can remember when the house was filled with friends and with family. But now they've witnessed some friends pass away. They've lost a spouse. And transitioning into that particular phase of life where they're by themselves can bring intense feelings of aloneness and sadness. And so those are the four pictures of groups who struggle with loneliness. But I want us all to agree this morning that being lonely is not a sin. It's simply a symptom of being a human being. Loneliness does not necessarily come from something you did or something somebody else did or something you lack. It simply comes from the fact that you're a human being and it's given to all of us to be lonely for a season. And so we have to accept that we will have seasons and periods of loneliness, but then we have to move on to dealing with it God's way. And so the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what is causing this loneliness? Well, there's several different possibilities that contribute to loneliness. The first one is the feeling of rejection. The feeling of rejection can cause loneliness. And maybe today you're dealing with some rejected part of your life, and you've put yourself out there and you've tried to make friends, you've tried to find somebody to date, you've tried to find somebody to marry, and time after time you've been burned in love, you've been burned in friendship, and the result is you're burned out, and there's this pervasive, inescapable loneliness that you have to deal with. See, more often than not, lonely people walk around with a hurt somewhere, and they're afraid to try again. There's an unwillingness to make themselves vulnerable because the last time they did, they were rejected. And so they walk around with a hard exterior and they keep people at arm's length because they fear they'll get hurt again. And so there's the fear of rejection that causes loneliness. But I want you to see, secondly, there's a sense of insecurity that can cause loneliness. All of us have insecurities. All of us have things in our lives that we wished weren't there. And some of us view ourselves as unworthy. And if we see ourselves as unworthy, then we don't think anybody's going to want to be friends with us. We don't think anybody's going to want to be in a relationship with us. And so what we do, rather than putting ourselves out there because of the insecurities, we build a wall between ourselves and others. Rather than building a bridge for community and fellowship, we build a wall and say, no, I cannot accept myself. Therefore, I'm going to have a hard time accepting that somebody else could accept me. And so rather than building bridges to people, we put up walls and say, no, I don't want anybody. I'm too insecure. And so insecurity can cause loneliness. Rejection can cause loneliness. But I want you to see, thirdly, that selfishness can cause loneliness. Selfishness can. There are some people out there who are lonely, and I'm not trying to be harsh here, but it's their fault. They're self-centered. They're wrapped up solely in their own lives. Do you know people like that? You try to have a conversation with them, and it's all about them. They never ask you about you. A conversation should be a dialogue in which there's a mutual exchange of ideas and thoughts and things that bring joy. But when someone is selfish, it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue, and it's all about them. I have a friend with a guy who's a pastor, and he calls me probably once a month, and we talk all about him. How's church going? How's your family doing? What are you preaching on? And the last time he called, we talked for 25 minutes. It was all about him. And I'm being honest here. And he said, so man, how you doing? We talked enough about me. How you doing? I said, well, I'm doing good. He said, hold on. I got to call you back, man. I'm getting another call. I'm still waiting on that call. It hadn't happened yet. But you may be friends that they're it's all about them. They're like an opera singer warming up for a performance. Me. It's all about them. If you're a selfish person, you will never have deep, abiding friendships. And so what's the cure for loneliness? When it comes, how do we keep it from consuming us and destroying us? After all is said and done, God has made a provision for our loneliness. The first thing I want you to see is this. If you're feeling lonely, you've got to accept the fellowship of Christian friends. Accept the fellowship of Christian friends. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we'll walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. I say this today with tenderness. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I want to say this. Abiding loneliness is a choice that people make. And I'm not talking about those isolated moments that we experience from time to time, but those lingering, persuasive seasons of loneliness. God has provided for us something that all of us desperately need, and that is Christian friends. If we will reach out to, they will come alongside of us. If we'll choose to dwell in a lifestyle of community and fellowship instead of choosing to abide in a lifestyle of isolation and loneliness, it's a choice that we make. One of my passions as the pastor of this church is giving you opportunities to connect, giving you opportunities to come together for fellowship. That's one of my passions. That's why we do things like movie nights. That's why we do wings and trivia. That's why we do church-wide breakfast, ice cream socials, chili cook-offs, treat and trunk that we're going to have October 31st with our Methodist friends, combined services like we've got coming up with the Methodist church next door. That's why I kept Wednesday nights going all throughout the summer, because I don't want you to miss out. That's why when time changes, there are many senior adults who are not comfortable driving in the dark but want to come to Bible study on Wednesday nights. So what I'm going to do is offer a Bible study on Wednesday mornings for those who aren't comfortable driving out in the dark. You can come at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. I'll do the same Bible study with you that we do on Wednesday nights. We'll continue to do Wednesday nights, but I'm going to add a Wednesday morning because I don't want you to miss out, and I don't want you to feel disconnected and isolated from the church. If you're a faithful member of Lozella Baptist Church, you should not feel that lonely, because we've got a lot of outlets for you to have fellowship and connectivity with other believers. If that doesn't work for you, then join a Sunday school class. They're perfect small environments for you to come together, interact over the Word of God, and enjoy some connectivity with other church members. If you don't want to do that, join the choir. If you don't want to do that, come to women's ministry on Wednesday night. Come to men's ministry on Wednesday night. We had a bunch of men up here yesterday who changed the oil for single moms in their cars. Almost 20 women come up here and were blessed by the hard work of our men's ministry, who took their time, their Saturdays, to come up here and work on people's cars and change the oil. Awesome church to fellowship and to connect. And so I just want to make another point here that I think may be helpful. If you're lonely, then find another lonely person and pour yourselves into them through the gift of friendship. If you will open yourself up to others around you, then before long, people will materialize from all over who want to be your friend. If you'll be friendly, if you'll take that wall that you've built down and begin to build bridges to people, you'll be surprised. People will come from all over to be your friend. There's a lot of people out there, I call them Dead Sea Christians. You know the Dead Sea, it takes in, there's outlets coming in to the Dead Sea, but it has no outlet going out. It doesn't give anything, it only receives. There's a lot of Christians out there, Dead Sea Christians, they only take in, they never give out. If you'll begin to give out the blessing of friendship, then friends will begin to pour into you. If you'll be a blessing to others, others will be a blessing to you, and you won't have to feel isolated, you won't have to feel all alone. It's a choice that we make. Choose the fellowship of God's people that he offers to us. But I want you to see, secondly, accept the provision of God's Son. Accept the provision that God offers you through His Son. What you need to understand is God is the solution to all of our problems, including loneliness. When something is broken in your life, it's best to consult the manufacturer and the originator of our lives, who is God. And God created us all with certain attributes and certain needs, and all of us have an emptiness in our heart that only Jesus can fill. Somebody said, best said, we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart that only Jesus can fill. Money can't fill it. Promotions at work can't fill it. Drugs can't fill it. Relationships can't. Only a personal relationship with Jesus can fill the emptiness of our hearts. And so your most basic resource to cure your loneliness is to connect with the one, listen, who left the splendor and glory of heaven, who came into this world and lived a perfect sinless life, who gave His life to die on a cross, who experienced the ultimate loneliness so that we don't have to. If you understand what took place when Jesus gave His life on the cross, listen, all throughout eternity's past, Jesus enjoyed perfect union, friendship, and fellowship with His Father. And when Jesus hung on the cross and bore the sins of the world, our sins, past, present, and future, God had to turn away because perfect light can't fellowship with darkness. And for the first time in eternity's past, Jesus' fellowship with God was broken. That's why He said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus took the punishment and endured the punishment that we deserved, the most punishable offense ever devised by man, death on a cross. It was what we deserved. God turned away in holiness and righteousness and could not look upon His Son. Why? Because God can have no company with sin. And I want you to hear me. In that moment, when God turned away from Jesus, Jesus was the loneliest man to ever live, past, present, or future. He died alone, broken, beaten, bloodied, lonely. Just when He needed His friends, they left. They rejected Him. One betrayed Him. Another denied Him. They all forsook Him. You want to talk about loneliness? What an agonizing time of loneliness for the Lord Jesus that must have been. And so what does that mean for us? It demonstrates in those moments that you and I feel alone that we have a Savior who knows exactly how we feel. Jesus felt the pain that we feel when we're lonely. Jesus sympathizes and empathizes with our loneliness. Jesus struggles and is invited and invested in our struggle when we feel all alone. And so, my friend, when you're lonely, think of Jesus. Because Jesus can meet those three basic needs. Someone to love, someone who understands, and someone that needs you and wants you. And if you'll embrace Jesus in your heart and in your life today, if you'll receive Him, Jesus can fill that God-shaped hole that exists in your heart today. Today, if you don't know Jesus, there's nothing that can be done ultimately for your loneliness. There's no viable option outside of Him for your loneliness. But if you know Jesus, then every hope and every joy is possible for you. If you know Jesus, miracles can happen. If you know Jesus, the storehouse of heaven is open for you. If you know Jesus, the fellowship of other Christians welcomes you and is available to you. My encouragement to you today is don't choose to live in loneliness and misery when Jesus offers something so inherently better. You say, "I need somebody now." Jesus will come into your heart and live with you now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says that Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm reminded of a little boy whose parents put him down for the night, and he got scared in his room. I often did. I never would sleep with a leg or an arm off the bed. Just didn't do it. I didn't start doing that until I was about 13 because I just knew something was under my bed. And so he got scared. And so he called out to his mom. He said, "Mom," he said, "come lay with me in the bed. I'm scared." She said, "No, I gotta stay in here with your dad. He needs me to sleep with him tonight in the bed." And he said, "That big sissy." But anyway, others will disappoint you. Others will betray you. Others will leave you, but Jesus never will. He's your best friend. John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. That's the wonder and beauty of our Lord Jesus. He's always there with you anywhere and everywhere that you go. You can share anything with him and everything with him, no matter how intimate, no matter how silly, no matter how far-fetched, and Jesus will understand. When you're up, he's there. When you're down, he's there. You don't ever have to worry about Jesus not being there for you. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you receive him today into your heart, you'll never be alone again. It does not have to be an epidemic for you. It does not have to be a persuasive, toxic emotion that you deal with. Jesus is the solution today to your loneliness. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite preachers and writers, tells a story about a man, true story, who placed an ad in a Kansas newspaper. And here's what the ad said. I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment. For $5. I'll give you 30 minutes without comment, and I'll listen for $5. Chuck Swindoll said, it sounds like a hoax, but the person was serious. And so Chuck Swindoll did an interview with him and said, did anybody call? And the man said, you bet. He said, it wasn't long before I was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. Why? Because the pain of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to do anything for a half hour of companionship. You may feel all lost, and you may feel alone today, but there is a God who knows where you're at, and a Savior who has a good plan for your future, if you'll but call on Him. And I don't know today, you may be a lonely college student, you may be a lonely single, you may be a lonely senior adult, you may be a lonely spouse. Today, you can accept the encouragement of Christian fellowship. Our arms are reaching out to you today. Come join us. Come get on our team. Come get in our family. We'd love to have you. Accept our fellowship. We want to connect with you. And if you've never been saved, then accept the provision and the presence of God's Son this morning. You don't have to feel alone if you've got Jesus in your life. Let me pray for us. Maybe today you have been struggling. Maybe today you're trying to pick up the pieces, having lost someone through death or having lost someone through divorce, and you just feel so lonely. Today, would you reach up to the Savior? Would you reach out to our church family and say, I just need someone to come alongside of me. I need help. If you ask, we're willing to help, I promise. We're willing to provide comfort and friendship, connectivity. Those things that are missing in your life, Jesus will provide, and he'll help our church, use our church in your life to provide those things that are missing. If you're here today and you've never been saved, let me invite you during this time of invitation to come. I'd love to be able to share with you how you can know Jesus in a personal and life-changing way. If you're looking for a church to join and you've been visiting around and you've settled that this is where God would like to have you, we would be honored. We'd be so honored to be your church family. Or maybe you just need to come kneel at the altar. Maybe there's a need in your family. There's a need in your finances. There's a need in your health. And you just need to come kneel before the Lord and say, God, I need you today. Would you help me? If you need somebody to pray with you, I'd be honored to do it. It'd be a privilege for me to pray with you. Whatever God's leading you to do today, would you be obedient in this time of invitation? Jesus, we need you. Would you move in our midst? For Christ's sake, amen. Stand to your feet. I'll be standing down front. You need someone to pray with you, you come.